Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events related to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Good evening. Welcome to our show tonight, Polygamy, What Love Is This? I'm your host, Doris Hansen, and we thank you for inviting us into your homes tonight. We are here to talk about polygamy, and I was born and raised in a polygamy group. And our guest tonight was a practicing polygamist for a few years himself, and we're going together, we are going to discuss the reality of the sister wives reality show. We are broadcasting live from Salt Lake City, Utah, and this is a telephone call-in program. We do invite your phone calls if you have questions or comments about our subject. Our telephone number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. You might want to write that down. Or if you prefer, of course, you can email your questions or comments to our email address, which is tv@aboutpolygamy.com. And if you know anyone who lives in the Boise, Idaho area that might enjoy our program, you can tell them that they can watch a recorded version of it on Sunday afternoons from 4 until 5 p.m. on KCLP Channel 18 in the Boise, Idaho area. But of course, all of our previous shows can also be watched on our website on streaming video. And our webpage is whatloveisthis.tv. From that webpage, you can find all sorts of information. You can link to the answers to the most asked questions from the program. You can locate our available resources. We have a DVD, Lifting the Veil of Polygamy, and a Bible study called Is Polygamy Biblical? You can order DVDs of any of our past programs. They are also available, and you can find those on the website as well. On the website also, it talks about our Life After Polygamy support group. We meet once a month. Our next meeting is November 15th. And we did meet again last Monday night. It was a wonderful discussion again. We had a good group meeting and good people who were there to input and to help and to talk about the issues that face those who have been or are in polygamy groups. If your life has been touched by polygamy in any way, you are invited to our group meetings. Just email us or call us for information, the details, and we would be happy to give them to you. Another website that may interest you, especially if you have or know someone that has a Mormon-based background, is sacredgrovesonline.org, sacredgrovesonline.org. And to find out more about our ministry, that we reach out to polygamists and people in polygamy groups, you can go to our website, shieldandrefuge.org. If you are in a polygamy group and you need help or you have questions, we do help people leave polygamy groups. And if you think that there should be a better way, there is, and we'd love to tell you all about it. We offer you help and hope. We offer you a biblical perspective of the polygamy issue, because Jesus said he came to set the captives free. And we want to help you to become free from the bondage, the abuses, and the burdens of life in polygamy. So we can help you. We do have a toll-free number. It's 877-425-9993. You can give us a call anytime if you would like help from your polygamous situation. Recently, a so-called reality show entitled Sister Wives hit the TLC television airwaves for a few weeks. Right now, we would like to show you a short clip of the intro to that Sister Wives reality show.
I believed in living this lifestyle. It just makes each of us better.
I expected there would be other wives. I think there's room for everybody.
I like sister wives. I wanted the family. I didn't just want the man.
Love should be multiplied, not divided.
That seemed to be an intriguing show for many, and it mesmerized a lot of people who were not familiar with polygamy and the culture in Utah. and with polygamy doctrine and the mindset. And we did receive several inquiries from people who wanted to know the accuracy of the show and was that really a reality show. So I promised that we would do a full critique of the show tonight, and that's what we're going to do. I invited John Llewellyn to be our guest tonight to aid us in our discussion. He's not only an expert on polygamy and its abuses, but he is also a former member of the particular polygamy group that the Sister Wives tribe belongs to, the AUB, or better known as the Apostolic United Brethren, or easier known as the All Red Polygamy Group. John Llewellyn has been on our show a couple of times in the past, and he's also a previous polygamist, but he gave that up for a saner and legal lifestyle. And he's a former detective for the Salt Lake County Sheriff's Office. He has written several books about polygamy and about polygamy groups. And I would like to welcome and thank you for coming tonight.
That's my pleasure.
We got lots to talk about.
I'll say there is a lot to talk about.
To begin our discussion, I would like to quote from a woman who lives in Arizona. And I got a hold of this from an email that she had sent and asked her if I could use it after she had watched the final episode of Sister Wives. And this is what she said. She said, "Sister Wives, oh my gosh, I watched it last night," and this was the final episode. She says, "I watched it last night, and they made polygamy seem better than the Brady Bunch, Leave It to Beaver, and Father Knows Best. It was like watching a huge fantasy world. Only thing wrong was a little bit of jealousy that they could overcome to make themselves into better people. The fanciest cars, beautiful home, expensive wedding preparations for the newest wife, beauty parlors, vacation with the first wife on the beach. What a bunch of baloney. I shake my head over it all. I can't believe they can get away with presenting it like this," end quote. From your perspective, was the Sister Wives a true reality show?
No, absolutely not. What they were doing, you know, the principle is a sacred principle according to these people. And they don't like to flaunt themselves before the public because in a sense it would be casting pearls to swine.
Good point.
And what I saw was a flamboyant family, and especially in Cody. If you remember back at Tom Green, he was another person who flaunted his lifestyle before the public and on national television. And then there was Alex Joseph. All of these guys were flamboyant individuals. I noticed on Oprah. When Cody would shift back and forth like that so his hair would swing.
I noticed.
This is something
too.
That Tom Green used to do also when he was on television, when he had the long hair. And
you said the long hair was significant for Cody. How significant is that in the reality of the presentation?
Generally speaking, it's a sign of rebellion. But the grassroots polygamist would not let his hair grow long like that. And he would go out of his way to be inconspicuous. He doesn't want to attract attention to himself. And I understand that towards the end of the series, they say that what they want to do is test the bigamy statute, and they was going to decide which family within AUB would be the most appropriate to appear on national TV. I'm somewhat suspicious of all this because when they were filming the original series, I received some calls from some people that told me about it. And they told me that the leader of the group at that time tried to discourage him, did not like it. And that's Lemoyne Jensen. And I've known him over the years. And that is consistent with the way he feels. He doesn't want to attract attention to himself or to the group because there are some things involved in the group that they didn't, you know, they wouldn't want the public to know about, especially this multi-million dollar lawsuit that they're involved
right,
in.
Right, right. I noticed as I was watching it, and I had to grit my teeth to watch it because it's my background, you know. I was born and raised in polygamy, and I knew before they even started it, they were going to paint a pretty picture, and it's not a pretty picture. But there was a conspicuous absence of any religious conversation. Now, I know that the Mormon-based polygamy, the FLDS, the Kingston Group, the AUB, somewhat with the Independents, the Harmston Group, they all have a religious foundation.
Absolutely.
It's a wrong foundation, but they still have it.
Right.
And they threatened us from the cradle that we would go to hell if we didn't do this. We had to do it to please God. And yet that was conspicuously absent. In only a few of the episodes, there was a vague reference to some religious thing, but it was very vague, and somebody who didn't know would never have picked up on it. Isn't religion part of the AUB experience?
Oh,
don't they teach God requires it?
Yes. All of Mormonism is authoritative religion, and you have to have that authority. And the women are subservient to the husband, and the husband is subservient to the priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think that they would have to have had priesthood blessing to go on this program. But I sense that there is something other than religion, something other than wanting to test the bigamy statute. And I hope the bigamy statute is tested in this event, because I see a man who wanted to be envied, who thought people envied him. And this is exactly what Tom Green was about. And mm-hmm. I got to know Tom Green fairly well, because he was the paralegal in the two lawsuits where I was the lead investigator.
Okay.
So I got to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And when he had his criminal prosecution underway, of course the media wanted to talk to him, and he just kind of poo-pooed the criminal aspect of it, saying, oh, you know, I'll be able to handle that. There's nothing to worry about. He was more concerned with the limelight and the spotlight. And he thought that because he was on TV that he had power. Of course, he found out that he didn't have any power. All
mm-hmm.
he is
yeah.
is so much fodder for the producers and the people that put on these sensational type.
But with Tom Green, there's a little difference than there is with Cody. Well, actually, there's several big differences. There's no pedophilia going on.
That's true.
And as far as we know, they're not receiving welfare and food stamps.
Right.
And
in fact,
kind of
it's a lot of the media that have contacted me has wondered just where they get their money to have that nice house and all those vehicles
yeah.
and the clothes and et cetera.
Yeah.
And this one gal, and I think there's a magazine that came out this week, and I can't remember the article, but she hired a private detective to try and find out which advertising executive company that he belonged to. She couldn't find anything other than apparently he had a gun store, but she went to the address of the gun store, she told me, and it was just a house, and they didn't know anything about it.
Oh, my goodness.
But nobody seems to really know what he does for a living.
Yeah, he did say it was advertising, but that was all.
Yeah.
That was all that was brought
right.
up about that.
So I suspect there's a lot of ego involved here, and there's probably a lot of money involved as far as, you know, appearing on this. They couldn't pay me enough to do what he's did.
Yeah. Speaking for myself, I know when there's events like this, you know, the news media events or court events and things, we'll get phone calls or emails asking our opinion, you know, because mm-hmm. we're in this if one way or another. We're in it just like you are. And the media, they'll pay little or no attention or absolutely ignore me because I always bring up the religious aspect.
Mm-hmm.
I always do. And they don't like that. They ignore it. They'll walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that happen with you, and why?
It is, because a lot of times when the media contacts you, they have a preconceived assumption, and they don't want to vary from that. In other words, they've pretty much made up their mind, and they want you to support what they're doing. And if you don't do that, why they cut you off?
Or they'll misquote you, right?
There was one fellow that got a hold of me, and he was doing an article for an insurance magazine, and they were interested in how the polygamists could afford insurance for all these different families and how all that worked. And he was entirely objective and knew nothing about it. And so he was one of the very few really objective media people or journalists that I've
mm-hmm.
talked
Good.
To over about this.
Good. Well, religion is such a huge part of it. They do it for religious reasons.
Oh, it's the backbone. It's the driving force behind it all. And for them not to go into the religious aspects, and especially the group that he belongs to, I think that it was kind of fraudulent. The show was fraudulent in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect there was an agreement at the very beginning that they would avoid as much of the religious aspect, especially with AUB, because of the problems that they have had in the last few years.
The following comment was made from a viewer of the Sister Wives, and this is what the comment said. Now I lost it. Oh, dear. Excuse me, folks. I'm sorry, but I did lose that comment. I wanted to talk about it. Let's talk about, we'll get to that in a minute. Let's talk about Cody's, Mary was talking to him about her jealousies. She was being honest. Did you see that particular episode?
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about what would he do if he saw her with another man? And he said he was afraid that his reaction would appear hypocritical, which it was hypocritical, and it did appear that way, but he couldn't handle the idea of her being with another man.
No.
And yet it's okay for Mary and other polygamous men and their wives to watch him go up to another woman and hug her and kiss her and caress her and tell her that he loves her while these other wives are watching, and then they get to watch him go into her bedroom for that night. I mean, what? This isn't the prescribed marriage of the Bible. This isn't. God doesn't pull these kinds of ugly tricks on women. What is your thinking of his answer to her jealousies?
Well, I think his answer was fairly typical for most polygamous men, because she belongs to him. And he doesn't want anybody messing with his property, because essentially that's what she is property. And these guys are very possessive and watch over him like a sheep herder would his herd. Some of them are more liberal and some of them aren't. And you have a whole mixture of the fanatics, the radicals, than somewhat liberals in the AUB group. So I think his answer was quite typical for a polygamous man in that position.
Mm, okay.
Do
they ever consider, and I'm going to ask you because you was a polygamous man at one time, do they ever consider their wives' feelings in this? I shouldn't say do they ever. Is it a frequent consideration?
It depends upon the individual. I have to admit that in AUB there's some pretty nice people, and there are men who really try to live it as honorably as they possibly can, and they do take into consideration the feelings of their wives. I feel like that I was like that. But there are others who don't. And because you have the favorite wife, the dominant wife, and then you have the secondary wives. And the secondary wives get the leftovers, so to speak. And a lot of times they have to take care of them, support themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the man only, as I talk about this, I can visualize the different individuals that I knew that were like that.
Yeah.
The secondary children absolutely hated their father. I could introduce you to some of these kids.
Yes.
Because he was never there for them.
Yes.
And because of the way he treated his wives.
Mm-hmm.
And the pecking order is almost militant in all of the groups, mm-hmm. you know, as well as Kingston.
It is. You bet it
is. You have the elite, and then you mm-hmm. have the, yeah, there's like a man with a greater priesthood can take the wife of a man with a lesser priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of their
well, that's what Brigham gospel. Young, he oh. actually is the one who instituted that. Well, actually, Joseph Smith did. I've read a few of his comments. I found the comment I wanted to talk about here of some a viewer of the Sister Wives. The comment was, the Browns consulted with their polygamous group to decide which family would be the best to appear on the show so that they could challenge the law. The comment that had been reportedly stated by them was, bring it on. You know, to bring it on. And we talked about this briefly already. Is this something that you think that Cody and that family did independently?
You know, I really do, from the feedback that I've got from the people that are close to the family and also close to the group as to the way it is now. I'm sure that they probably approached the priesthood to tell them what they had in mind, but this bravado stuff, bring it on. I hope the Utah County Attorney's listening to that, because what he's doing is flaunting it. You know, I think it was all about sensationalism and celebrityism, the more it was religion. They didn't teach the people about their religion,
right,
which justifies
right,
it.
Right.
All they taught about the good time they had, the flamboyance mm-hmm. that went on, you could mm-hmm. just see it.
And that is totally unreality.
That's right.
It just doesn't, happen in the
I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it hasn't already happened that he gets pushed out of the AUB. And he'll wind up with some of the independents, maybe principal voices, those people there,
mm-hmm.
Which
pro-polygamous,
often happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I read an article where Cody seemed to think, he was interviewed a year or two ago, and he seemed to think in the article that it's funny that American society thinks that it's normal for a man to have multiple sexual partners, like Hugh Hefner, who has a TV show centered on him and his multiple girlfriends. But when someone like him wants to do the responsible thing and marry his multiple girlfriends, people think it's weird. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that? Kind of a comment.
In a sense, it is more responsible if you are caring and providing for all of the needs of these women than it is for the promiscuous guys and even with some of the mistresses. But the problem is he does not epitomize what goes on. There's not that many responsible husbands who are able either financially to take these wives and support them and give them the love.
He's not either. His wives have to work.
Right, right. But yet they seem to be fairly affluent for mm-hmm. polygamous families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there are some affluent families.
There are.
And the more affluent
especially
you are, the more wives you have.
Right, right, especially in the leadership.
Right.
A problem I have with that idea is whether the man is a philanderer, an adulterer, or a polygamist, you can't compare one sin with another and say one sin is better than another. I mean, just because he married all of his girlfriends doesn't make it more right than the guy who's just got all of his mistresses. And another part of this is Hugh Hefner, I doubt very much if he's ever told any of his mistresses that they'll go to hell if he doesn't come and spend
right.
time with them and threaten them with the sons of perdition status for eternity.
Right.
So there's a huge difference in blackmailing them with God. There's a big difference.
That's right.
And two wrongs don't make a right anyway.
Yeah. Well, you take a first wife or a monogamous wife. It's unnatural for her to want to share her husband with other women.
Mm-hmm.
It's unnatural for her to want to share her assets with other women.
Right.
Without some inducement. So what is that inducement? It's section 132 mm-hmm. of the Doctrine and Covenants.
Joseph Smith threatened Emma for destruction.
Absolutely.
If she didn't comply.
And then he threatened all of the, well, this is supposed to be Jesus Christ talking in the section 132. And he threatens all of the monogamous wives the same way, that they'll be destroyed. That's in verse 64 and 65 of section 132.
He threatens the monogamous wives, they'll be destroyed.
That's right.
If they don't let their husbands...
It's the same threat as he gave to Emma.
Sarah, the law of Sarah?
Yeah, the law of Sarah is a bunch of baloney.
Even the early Mormons admitted that.
Yeah. I mean, that gives the first wife the opportunity of choosing the plural wives, but that really doesn't happen.
Right.
Because I know of guys that will go and attend... LDS singles dances to try and meet girls, pretend to be monogamists, and then get them to fall in love with them, and then try to teach them to be plural wives. And there's been some really sad stories along those lines.
Sad.
Because mm-hmm. deception, see, there's no rules as to how you go about getting any wives, how many you can have, how old they should be.
Right.
You can even marry dead ones, which I was recently involved in a court case there, where where the man married the deceased woman and took her children as his, you know, because now he was their priesthood leader and everything, and they treated her like dirt.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's a long story.
Oh, my goodness. We saw the opening here of the reality show. And in the beginning, Cody would say, love should be multiplied, not divided. Now, this is a cutesy little, you know, one-time phrase. What do you think about that statement?
Well, the first thing I thought of was the second great commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But I don't think that's what he had in mind. I think he was wanted to love
so
a bunch
either.
Of girls, you know. I think that was his Y chromosome talking. Let's put it that way.
Well, I thought about that for a few minutes, and you know, it is kind of a catchy little thing, and I thought maybe he thought he was being very creative by saying that. But the more I thought about it, the more I thought he hasn't multiplied love. He's multiplied his lovers, but he hasn't multiplied love. He's actually, in essence, he's fragmented his own love. He isn't giving 100% of his love to any one of his wives. And so in reality, he has divided his love because he has to divide it four ways. Right. And she never gets 100% of his love, 100% of his care, 100% of his money, 100% of his attention like a wife deserves to have.
And if those wives are normal, which I'm sure they are, there's always going to be that doubt. And he's going to have to continually reassure them that they're important, that he loves them. But there is always going to be that doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard some of the pro-polygamous ladies say, oh, I've conquered jealousy, that's no problem. That's not true.
You know what Mary Mackert says about that? That's her drug of choice. Denial was her drug of choice. She just stuffed it so far and deep that she didn't feel her feelings anymore.
Yeah.
But they were there.
And that's what a lot of them do. You go down into Colorado City, we used to deliver flowers there, and some of those poor women walk around like zombies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just hurt so much that they was just a shell of what they should be.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they say that it makes you a better person. I hear this from every single polygamy group. And every one of them say, oh, the jealousies we feel makes us into better people. We become more Christ-like by learning how to love instead of be jealous. But God didn't give us polygamy to learn how to be better people. He gave us Jesus to learn how to be better people. And polygamy certainly wasn't part of it. That's a very cruel, cruel way to try and do something like that.
Yeah, God gave us a brain to think.
Yeah.
And the problem is they let their priesthood leaders do their thinking for them.
Mm-hmm. And they sure do. Did you notice in the episodes you watched how Cody was the center of every conversation, almost every conversation of almost every concern and focus. Once in a while a child was, or the children were, and once in a while a wife, especially the one that was having a baby, mm-hmm. and then the one who got married. But it always ended up centering around him. Mm-hmm. He was the focus.
Yeah. And the big, huge ego there, you can see it. And of course, he was managing his family, and a lot of these guys do that. Some mm-hmm. of them overmanage mm-hmm. and drive them away. But in all fairness, I do know of individuals who really try to do it correctly and honorably,
mm-hmm.
but they are almost a rarity.
As much as I didn't understand it at the time, I look back on it now, I think my own father was trying to be as honest as mm-hmm. he could. He only had two wives, so he didn't have to juggle that much. But still, it was a burden. It was a tough thing for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And although he was abusive to my mother's children, some of us, he still, I think he really did try to be as fair as he could to both wives.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that as well, but I also see the opposite, where there's absolute favoritism with some men, and they don't even bother to hide it at all. I think that we should say here, too, that polygamy is a patriarchal way of life. That's just what it is.
Right.
It is a man-centered, man-dominated, man-managed way of life, and the women are subjective, and the children.
Well, if you go back into history, and especially into Catholicism, women have always been oppressed. And this is just the tail end of it until women have finally got there.
Yeah, when are we going to...
Oh, I think you're there now.
No, if polygamy becomes legal, if polygamy even becomes decriminalized, it's a step backwards.
Yes, it is a step backwards to the Middle Ages, is really what it is, because it's a Middle Age type of lifestyle. But they talk about Abraham and Isaac and those older patriarchs. In those days, you can't find anywhere in the Bible where polygamy was a religious tenet.
That's exactly right, or where God ever commanded it. Right.
It was a cultural thing that depended on there. And of course, in the case of Genghis Khan, who was one of the greatest of all polygamists, every time he conquered a town, he'd have all of the young, beautiful girls be part of his concubines. And there's a good book about that. It's called Adam's Curse, and they've been able to trace his Y chromosome and the genes all through that area where he conquered.
Yeah,
and there's
heard
absolutely
that.
Millions and millions and millions of people walking around with his Y chromosome.
I've heard that yeah. There's quite a bit about that. Yeah. We've got some calls coming in. I've still got some more questions. We may not get to them all, but let's give it a try with the phone calls here. We have an off-the-air question from Michael from Ogden who says, please explain why polygamy is illegal.
Why is it illegal? Well, for one thing, that was the only way that Utah could become a state was to, and the manifesto in 1890 accomplished that.
It was illegal in the United States and Canada and Mexico.
That's right.
All at the same time.
And it's because it was oppressive to women. The women just weren't treated equal, and they were secondary citizens. They had no rights. They were treated as property. And in Colorado City, they are still treated as property, as chattel.
Right. It's not equality.
Right.
Okay. I hope that answers your question. We have line one, Jeff from Davis County. Not line one's blank. Let's do line two. Scott from Layton. Hello, Scott.
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to ask a question. I talked to your to the lady that, you know, interviewed me first. And I have a really big problem. I came here to Utah in 87, and then I went to LDS Church, and I joined LDS Church in 86. And in 89, they really persuaded me to marry this girl. She was here without papers, and she probably wanted to get her papers and all that. But I have a lot of disagreement with LDS Church, even like before that, and I wrote some letters. And before we were to marry, they sent some people from the authorities of the church, you know, from the 70s. And they came like four or five men there and said that they showed like copies of those letters that I wrote. And she said that, and they said that she's not supposed to marry me and all that. And I said, that's fine. Then they took her to one of their offices and they talked. I was not present there. Then she came back. She said, everything is fine. We can get married. And in 89, we met in LDS Temple in Salt Lake, and everything was, you know, nice, you know, you know, dandy. Then when we went on our honeymoon, she told me right when we were to go to bed that she's not going to have sex with me until I change, until I go against my previous religion, which is which was, you know, Christian religion, and that I need to change first, otherwise she will never have a relationship, you know, with me.
Scott, what is your question? Does that have to do with polygamy?
Well, it's very close, because I think I was told that she was sealed to one of the leaders of the church like for that when, you know, when he died, and then she was like sealed to him in the temple beside me, and then she did not want to have sex to me until today, and I tried to quit the church. They stopped me like two or three times, and I'm still trying. I just want to ask you a question. What should I do?
I'll let you handle that one.
Punt. I don't have an answer for that. I'm sorry. That's quite a story.
Yeah, it's really not in the realm of what we're doing, talking about on this show tonight, sir.
Well, I know, but I'm here. I'm, you know, victim of more or less, you know, polygamy, see? Because she's sealed to another leader of the church, yeah. And she have this close relationship with the leaders, and they marry her to me just to get the papers, and then she's trying to change me and don't want to have sex with me until I change the way they want.
Because she was an alien, illegal alien, yeah. And that made her legal.
Yeah. Well, there's always divorce.
Yeah, or there's always the news media to go tell, spin your story to them.
Well, I tried to go for divorce. She said she will never give me divorce. I tried that a couple of times.
Well, you need to talk to an attorney.
Will never, you know, admit to any of these, you know, in the court and all that.
Scott, our guest just said, and it's good advice. You need to talk to an attorney. You could probably get better advice from him than from us.
But I just want to let you know, since you deal with all those things, because here I'm a man, you know, victim, not only women are victims.
Well, there are a lot of men that are victims in the polygamy mess. I agree with you. There are.
The wives gang up on you.
Thank you.
Now, that happens, too. I'm not...
Well, I would just like to ask you to pray for me. I try to go to other Christian churches and all that, and please pray for me. Too.
Well, I would pursue your Christian church, and maybe you can get someone there also.
Find the right, you know, right solution. It is really hard.
Yes. Okay, well, thanks, Scott, for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good night. Okay, we have line 3. Skyler is calling from Kearns. Hello, Skyler.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Okay, thank you.
What is your question?
Hi, I was just wondering what is your opinion on the Warren Jeff trial?
On the Warren Jeffs?
Yeah.
Are you talking about that he was, the case was overturned in the Supreme Court, or that he's going to Texas, or what particular point are you asking about?
That he's going to Texas and that his penis will be cut off?
Whoa, no.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think anything like that's going to happen.
We don't need that kind of rude calls. Okay, line 1 looks like Jeff's back. Hello, Jeff?
Yeah.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, Doris. I had a theory that I just wanted to run by and see if it, what you think of it. I'm wondering if the higher-ups in the mainline Mormon church, they see this national publicity, and it reflects on the state of Utah and offhand on the church. And I wonder if they get together and say, have we got somebody down there that can prosecute this guy because he's making... You know, he's making too big of a scene, reflecting on us, and if that happens, like with the other high-profile ones, I just want to get your opinion on that.
Okay. Do you want to take that off the air, or do you want to hang on?
Off the air.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and say your opinion, and I'll pipe in, too.
I watched Cody and his family when he was on Oprah, and you could tell that Oprah wasn't buying a lot of that stuff that they were saying. And I don't think that Cody and his family has done the principle of plural marriage, if you believe in it and its sacredness, any good. I don't believe he did the state of Utah any good. And I don't think he did the Mormonism or the LDS Church any good by going on there in a sensational, flamboyant manner the way he did, him and his family.
And I would agree with that. How the scuttlebutt I'm hearing, and of course there's no official statement yet, and that is that they've decided they're not going to pursue the investigation.
Oh.
Legal investigation.
Now, you mean the Utah County Attorney isn't?
Finished. The last I heard, they had finished their investigation and turned it over to the Attorney General, and they didn't. This isn't a for sure thing, but they weren't sure that they were going to pursue it because they didn't think that they could make the bigamy charge stand. Now, that's not official, okay? The fact that the LDS Church, if they have put down an order not to or to, the Attorney General is not responding.
Yeah, it's not the Attorney General, it's the Utah County Attorney. He's the one that'll make the decision on this. And that's who the Lehigh Police submitted their investigation to. So I heard that they were taking it into consideration or studying it. And I think a lot will depend upon what pressure the Utah County Attorney gets as to whether or not they prosecute. I suspect that the official position of the LDS Church would be staying neutral out of it.
But they could put under the table pressure, and I think that's what our caller was talking about. Would they pressure to?
I don't know if they would do that or not. I'd hate to say yeah. A lot of people probably think they would, but it would only be an opinion.
That's true.
There's no way of knowing if they.
And they're not going
to let you know if they do it.
That's true. But there's a lot at stake, you know, when you think of the politics that are coming up, too, in the next couple of years, too. So they've got a lot that they've got to juggle on this.
I happen to think Mitt Romney is one of the better candidates, and this type of stuff doesn't help him either.
Help in their image in any way at all, that's for sure. Okay, I hope that answers your question. Off the air, Ken from Sanpete County, what are the upcoming governors going to do about the polygamy guards in Gunnison Prison? I'm sure he's talking about the election. There are the candidates for election, the polygamous guards who are in Gunnison. I talked about this a couple of times in the past.
I don't think that there are any practicing polygamists who are employed by the state as guards. I don't.
Mm-hmm. There are. This caller has proof.
He has proof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, in essence, polygamy has been decriminalized in the state of Utah, especially with the Attorney General Mark Shurtleff's perspective of it all.
Seems that
so
way.
So why don't they just go ahead and prosecute him and see if it goes all the way to the Supreme Court? The Utah Supreme Court has already upheld the bigamy cases twice, mm-hmm. in Rodney Holmes' case and in Tom Green's case. So we know what the Utah Supreme Court's going to do. They haven't changed that much. They're going to have to get it to the United States Supreme Court. Let's do it. You know, if the people want polygamy, okay. If they don't, I mean, we've got Obama, we've got national health. Why not have polygamy? And you know, we'll just have a sexual anarchy in this country.
That's where we're
headed.
I read an article not too long ago that, and I don't remember the exact details of the time frame, but from one time frame to another, which was only a matter of a few years, the population in the Hilldale, Colorado City area grew by 40%. 40%. And I think I'm just saying this mostly so that our viewers can understand that polygamy groups, the population of polygamists is mushrooming. Because what's the growth of a normal family in, 2.5 people in a normal family, mm-hmm. I think? And they grow 40% within just a few years.
Right.
That happens in the Kingston group. It happens in, I can't speak for the AUB, but I'm sure it happens in that group as well because they have huge families.
Right.
One man that I know of has over 350 kids. Another man that I know of has over 150 kids. One man.
Right.
So how long is it going to take before they go to the polls and vote themselves in?
Well, and who's feeding all of those people?
We are.
Yeah. And the welfare people opened up a special office in Hilldale just to accommodate the polygamist in Colorado City and Hilldale because the business was so great. If you take into consideration the incorporated cities like Colorado and City and Hilldale, the government grants that they have received and all the school money that they have received to improve property that's owned by the priesthood, the taxpayer is subsidizing this lifestyle in Utah and Arizona. And we don't seem to care.
Yeah, we don't. We feel sorry for the children, yep. And the children need to be fed. There's no doubt about right. that. It's a very sticky situation that we're facing. If we don't do something about it, we need to really do something about it. Okay, we have Casey from Ogden is calling.
It's 317.
Well, I guess it's not ready. I thought it was. Tina from West Jordan is calling. Hello, Tina.
Hey, Doris.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I guess I wanted to ask you a question and make a comment.
Okay.
I think it's quite funny that the attorneys are all over the sister wives family and letting all the other ones just be free doing whatever they want just because they were on TV.
Well, I mean, you know, if you rob a bank and you don't tell anybody, you're liable to walk free faster than if you got up in front and told everybody you did it. I mean, that's obvious.
But I think it's pretty known. I mean, I live two doors down from a former polygamist, and her whole family's still involved with it, and they're down in the Cedar City area.
Uh-huh.
And it's well known. It's not like it's some secret that there's this big bunch of polygamists living there.
Mm-hmm.
So how come the attorneys aren't all over their case, you know?
Well, one quote that, and then I'll give you an opportunity to answer her. One quote that supposedly, apparently, the Brown's attorney said was that it would be a pretty curious thing to select just one family to prosecute out of thousands of polygamous families simply because they went on TV.
Right.
What do you think of that?
This is an excuse the attorneys have always used. If they if they're going to prosecute one, they have to prosecute them all. But it's uneconomical to go after all of the polygamists. There just isn't the jails or the manpower to handle it all. So it is kind of a dilemma. But my position is that every time there's abuse of some kind or coercion in these families, whether the woman or the child is 17 or 27, that they should use the bigamy statute to prosecute them. If we decriminalize it, they think that the abuse is going to stop and that people are going to come forward. They're not. The authoritative responsibility. Most all of these groups, and in the AUB, every time there was some crime going on, some pedophiles and stuff, they hid it and they covered it up as long as they could until it finally became so well known or it got known by the media that they had to take action.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Greens.
Well, Green was an independent. But here's something that I'll tell you. In AUB, they have what they call a high priest council, which is equivalent to the apostles in the LDS church. In the last decade, they have had three high priest apostles, and they're supposed to be selected by God, who have been excommunicated and drummed out of the group for allegedly molesting their children. And it only happened after it became common knowledge. Now, one of them, his name is Chevro, was prosecuted, pled guilty, and served, I think, 4 or 5 years in prison. In fact, he might still be down there.
I hope he is. Okay, so my question, Doris, is I have a friend that was married in the temple, still wears her garments, and has been divorced legally from him and married several times after that, but still believes in the church and what have you, but she's married to a husband that treats her horribly and smokes and drinks and whatever.
Okay.
And I've kind of thrown things out like, you know, you need to read the Bible. The reason why men can't get divorced in the temple, or men don't get divorced in the temple, is because in their next life they're going to be polygamous. So, isn't there something that's written that says that that's what they're going to do? Is that what they teach the men? That they're going to have their own planet and...
Well, that's early Mormon. That's early Mormon doctrine. Yes, that the men will become gods. All polygamists believe it. That the more wives you have, the higher, more powerful of a god you will be. You will have a god. Some of them teach that for every wife you have, you'll have your own planet, and so the more huge of a solar system you'll have, according to each wife.
That's correct.
And so the men can and still can get sealed to multiple women in the temple. And if a divorce does take place, it's not a temple divorce, it's only a mortal divorce. So they will have...
I was trying to kind of tell her that was the reason why.
Uh-huh.
And I asked her if she had gotten a temple divorce, and she said not yet. And my feeling was is that she feels that, and from what I've researched and what have you, I'm a former Mormon, by the way, that... they feel like they have to do these certain things to get to God, and one of them is to be married in the temple with a man who is in the priesthood.
Yeah, it takes a man to get a woman into heaven,
and
according
so
to their doctrine.
And so she's done that, and that's what makes me feel like that's the reason why she won't get a temple divorce.
Well, they may not even give it to her. I understand that that's quite a process to if
really?
Anything happens, yeah.
I just feel so bad for her.
Well, she can be set free from all that if she would just turn to Jesus alone for salvation and throw out all of this other stuff, because we don't need anything else.
Have you read the book, Leaving the Saints?
No, I haven't.
Great book. I'd like to know who her father is.
Well,
if you read it, and I'll email you, if you know who her father is, I'd sure like to know.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling, Tina.
Thank you. Sorry to take up so much time.
All right. Thanks. Good night. Okay. It's pretty sad, the web that is woven for some of these people. And again, that goes back to what I said early in the show. Jesus came. He said he came to set the captives free, and she can be freed in Jesus. Line 2, John from Salt Lake. Hello, John.
Yes.
You're on the air. Turn your TV down.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm sorry, I can't.
Turn your TV down, John.
Okay, anyway, yeah, my TV's off now, but my question kind of comes from someone who just moved out to Salt Lake, and I kind of have a kind of an overall question. You know, what is the current state of polygamy in Utah, in the United States? I heard you talking earlier about the numbers increasing, so is it really something that's taking place in smaller towns, in larger towns, and is it actually growing at a steady rate?
Yes to everything you just said.
it's definitely growing. It used to be just confined here to Utah. Then it went to Arizona. Now it's in Texas. It's in Colorado. It's in South Dakota.
Nevada.
Nevada. It's in Mexico. It's in Canada. So it's growing. It's just like it has tentacles and.
There's even pockets in Missouri back there.
That's right, Missouri. There's a lot of pockets of it there.
Yeah,
and do these people? I mean, you were saying earlier they think that, they think that they're fundamental Mormon. And so, what is the Mormon Church in Salt Lake? How do they view that? How do they view all these kind of branches of people that are spurting up and practicing polygamy?
Well, they don't like it. They deny that they have any part and parcel with polygamy, and they do excommunicate people if they find out they're practicing polygamy, but still it's their history. They're the ones that started, and it's still in their books, and they still do it in the temple, so it's kind of a mixed bag.
Okay, I see. All right, great. Well, that's my question. Thank you for your answer.
Thanks for calling. Okay, an off-the-air question. Do all Mormons and polygamists believe in polygamy in heaven?
Yes. Yeah, that's part of it. That's Only the fundamentalist Mormons or the polygamists will be able to have sex in heaven, because there is no one is given marriage in heaven. That's why it all has to be done here.
Before you
and
die.
What is sealed here on earth will be sealed in heaven. So that's in the section 132. And they believe that for every wife, they will have a world like Earth, and the wife will be the Eve of that Earth. And together, they will provide the spirits that will go to those Earths, as it happened here, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the polygamists, their doctrine is remains from early Mormon doctrine that
right.
only they will be in heaven, only they will get the highest degree.
That's right.
And everyone else, the Mormons are apostates.
Well, and the honorable people of the earth, people like Mahatma Gandhi and Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson and those people will be the servants of the polygamists.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can imagine this little unknown guy with three wives, Abraham Lincoln's going to be shining his shoes, you know, in the celestial kingdom. Doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. No. Well, we've come to the end of another show tonight, and I thank you, John, for coming.
Okay,
we got through a lot of our stuff, but there's so much to talk about, we can't get through it all. I'd like to close tonight by quoting a small portion of an article that Susan Schmidt, who is a former guest of our show, and she's also a former sixth wife of Verlin LeBaron. She was asked to write an article on the sister wives, and I would like to quote part of what she said. She said, "Seeing the superficiality of this show troubled me. Was this family advocating polygamy as an alternative lifestyle for America? I couldn't help but wonder how much of this was drama and how much was authentic. Drama pays well, and truth sometimes takes a back seat to what is profitable in the entertainment industry. Did Cody fully understand that he was robbing not only himself but his wives of the beautiful intimacy and bonding and trust that God originally intended for marriage? It saddens me to see how easily he replaced the deep intimacies of a monogamous marriage for a little variety," end quote. Once again, I'd like to remind our viewers that God did not command nor condone polygamy at any time for any reason for anyone. Again, I challenge you to send us a verse or a passage from the Bible where it shows that God commanded polygamy for salvation or for any other reason. On the other hand, the first marriage modeled monogamy, not polygamy. And it wasn't until Lamech from the line of Cain that introduced for the first time polygamy into the world. And the Bible tells us that Cain had gone out from the presence of the Lord. He had left the presence of the Lord, so polygamy never had its origin from God or from godly people. We do pray that you will trust in Jesus Christ alone. He died on the cross for your sins, and you want to work for something that He has already paid for? We cannot and must not trust in the arms of flesh. Trust in Jesus alone. Thank you, Anna.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email at whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.